Go. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for just being good to us. Lord, you're the reason for the season, Lord. And I don't just say that because that's what people say right now. But without you, Lord, we wouldn't have purpose for December or any other month of our life. And so, Lord, I do pray that we live our lives in such a way that reflect that, the field is, you know, it's ripe this time of year to get the gospel to people, to just share your love, and yet we still miss the boat most of the time. And so, Lord, I do pray that you would just allow us to be your hands and feet in a season as this. And Lord, I look forward to just hanging out after church and, you know, packing the Christmas boxes, and it's just another quote unquote good thing that we do at HBF, but if all we're doing is good things, then we're missing the point. And so, Lord, I pray that we're doing godly things. I pray that our lives reflect just the godliness of yourself in the world. And Lord, I pray that you just speak to us today. I purposely don't have a lot. It's more of a devotional thought, but Lord, I do pray that you would give us vision as we go into 2025. There's a lot of things happening, but Lord, I do pray that you're getting the glory for all of it, that we wouldn't be a class that is about just, you know, going through the motions, but we're a class that's so busy about your business that, you know, we're just bought in. And so I thank you for just the Passpoint class in general, and just everything that you do in and through these people. And Lord, I just count it a blessing to be able to be a part of it. So Lord, I pray you speak to us today, in Christ's name, amen. Okay, so I didn't really think of this till Tucker walked in and we were chatting, but today is kind of what you might call Passpoint light, right? And today is just very, it's going to be very low key. I don't have a whole bunch of teaching points. What? I don't know what word means. Okay. Did I say a word that I don't know what means? Probably. That happens. Okay. It's just, see, there you go. I need encouragement every now and then. Anyway. There's a lot of things happening. I didn't want today to be, you know, super teachy. We didn't really have time to get into a whole lot of Christmas stuff. And, you know, basically, I do a really terrible job of this in general in my life. You can ask my wife because I just don't. But I don't say thank you enough and how much I appreciate just you guys. The Passpoint class has nothing to do with me. I just get up here and teach most of the weeks. But you guys kind of make it happen. And just week in and week out, you know, I have people stop me all the time and, you know, they say things like, you know, the Passpoint class is really, you know, carrying the ball at HBF right now. And not that we're any better than any other class, but we're just really busy about the business of what God's doing at HBF. And that's what I want Passpoint to be. But, you know, I'm like, yeah, praise the Lord. But it really has nothing to do with me. It has, you know, nothing to do with my wife or any of that. It's, you guys are just doing what you need to be doing and you're focused on what you need to be focused on. And, we just, Paige and I just together, we appreciate you guys and just the fact that you're faithful, because it would be really awkward to come in here and just teach Paige every week, right? So anyway, I think she would show up most of the time, but yeah, tell me. But we really do just appreciate you guys not just coming to class, because like that's just a thing, but just doing the work. And so anyway, I say all that to say, hey, you made a mess. You averted a large mess, but you still made a small mess. Anyway, so with all of that, I want to recap just a little bit of last week more than anything, because there were a few people that weren't in here last week, and there's kind of, as we met at the pastor retreat, we talked about a lot of different things, and if you didn't get it from me, man, you sure got it from Brian last week in main service. He was fired up, and I was fired up just listening to him. But the thrust going into 2025 is, you know, just the soil of the heart and just doing the basics, because if the basic things aren't done, nothing's going to grow. And so, you know, just discipleship, being in the Word of God, all of those things. And so I'm convicted about it. Obviously, he's convicted about it. The church needs to be convicted about it. And so without reteaching any of that, we've got a lot of things that, you know, I'm trying to figure out what 2025 is going to look like as far as, you know, Passpoint things go and whatnot. But we're going to, and I say we, anybody who wants to be involved in it, you don't have to, I don't care. You know, that's on you. Maybe you have your own thing that you're already doing. But one of the main things I want to give everybody in Passpoint an opportunity to do is have some sort of an accountability type of group to read the Bible. Right, and so the goal would be to read through the entire Bible in a year, which, you know, that sounds like a lot. You're like, wow, that's a pretty big book. It's about 2 or 3 chapters a day. It's not really that much, and so it takes approximately the plan that I've done the past several years. It takes Austin's looking at his Bible like, man, that's a lot. No. But no, you don't have to. Anybody who wants to do it can. But anyway. The plan that I've used in the past, and I think I've landed on, just so anybody who wants to know, it's a plan I've read the past several years. It's got a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament every day, so it's not like, oh, we're in Leviticus. Oh my gosh, how am I going to get anything out of Leviticus? Even if you don't get anything applicational out of the Old Testament stuff, I promise it's profitable to read it. But more than that, there's always a chapter of New Testament in there as well. So it's good. It goes chronologically. So for the most part, it goes in order of how events happened. So it's not just a front-to-back read, which I would encourage you to do those as well at times. But this one I like. And so anyway, I'll send out the plan when I get it. Anybody who wants to be involved in that just needs to let us know. And so what my vision for this is, it's not just to like talk about it as we come into class, which we probably will. We'll be like, hey, did anybody read anything this week that was really cool? And I like the idea of, for the most part, the class all read the same thing this week. And so I'm encouraged by that. One thing about this plan is it's a 5-day plan, so you read 5 days a week. That doesn't mean you just get 2 off days. It gives you 2 other days to maybe study things that provoked your interest or things like that. And so it takes approximately, depending on how fast you read, 10 to maybe 20 minutes at most a day. So just throwing that out there. Anyway, so if that's something you want to be in on, text me or text Paige. Ladies, please text Paige. It's odd to me when I don't really like ladies texting me. It's just weird. It's a blameless thing. Anyway, my thought process is, it's very scatterbrained, obviously, accountability groups. So maybe hooking people up into groups of 3 or maybe 4, and you can text just the group, hey, I read today, you know, and maybe that's all you say. You know, I'm busy, I read today. Okay, well, that's awesome. I'm glad that, you know, it's not like, hey, I did this, did you see me? But it's like, oh, you're right, I need to read today too. And so, and then maybe, you know, a few sentences of, I read this, it was really cool. And just a practical application, never saw this before. And it's just, that's what an accountability group kind of does. And then we will, you know, refresh the groups. It's not like the group that you're in at the beginning of the year is what you're going to end the year with. We'll refresh them as we go so that you're hearing different things from different people. But if that's something you're interested in, just text us and we'll get you the plan. If it's not something you're interested in, I still encourage you to read because if we're not reading the word, then, you know, what's the point? So anyway, go back and listen to last week. I had a whole lot of stuff that I had to say about that, but I don't want anybody to think that I'm coming down on people for not reading your Bible. I just assume that you're all reading your Bible as much as God leads you to. And so that has nothing to do with it. So anyway, today, I want today to just be kind of lighthearted. So I kind of had a devotional thought. If you have your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 2. Shocking. This is the one of the Christmas passages. But there's something that, as I've read this a few times in the past week or so, for different things, knowing that, you know, it's Christmas season and, you know, you can get the Christmas account in the beginning of the book of Matthew and at the beginning of the book of Luke, if you wanted to compare those things. And there's a lot of things that happen, and I don't have time to teach through all of this. There's just one thought, and like I said, this isn't super teachy. It's just like a devotional thought. I just wanted to kind of give you something to chew on as you go into this. Let me just kind of read through a little bit of this passage. And this is a part of it that we all know, but maybe we haven't completely thought about. And actually, it's something that I hadn't thought about as it relates to today as much until just recently. So anyway, in Luke chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, "And came to pass in those days." Okay, so those days are referring to, the nation of Israel just doing the things that they're doing. They had been taken into captivity. They had gotten into captivity. You know, they are somewhere, 12 to 14 generations after going into captivity, and so anyway, how that whole thing plays out. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed," right? And so it's just like today. You got to pay your taxes. Death and taxes is inevitable. "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city." And we know the story. Joseph had to go to, Bethlehem. That's where he had to go. Everybody had, it didn't matter if you, grew up in Harrisonville, but now you live in, over here, you had to, the way that they taxed people is you had to go back to where you were born. And so it didn't matter if the town was getting bigger or the town was getting smaller. You had to go back to where it was. And Bethlehem was pretty small, because everybody left Bethlehem after they were born. It was kind of like one of those, towns that people couldn't wait to get out of as they grew up. But everybody had to go back to their town to be taxed. And so anyway, and Joseph went up from Galilee into the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So they're laying it out there. He has to go there because he's in the line of David. And so obviously, if you go back and trace through the line of Christ, it has to come through the seed of David. Anyway, I don't want to get too deep into those weeds, but it says to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now you can compare this to what happened in, chapter 1, when the angel of the Lord shows up and tells Mary, "Hey, you're going to have a baby." And she's like, "Say what?" And then the angel of the Lord, he's busy at this time. If you compare what's going on to Matthew, and the angel of the Lord's popping up to everybody, because he's like, people are not going to get this if I don't lay this out. This is a word from God. And, the angel tells Joseph, "Hey, it's okay. It's of the Lord." And he's like, "Yeah, that's what she said, but I'm just really confused. It's a weird situation." So anyway, they're going. He's got her with him. They have to go to be taxed. I'm sure it's just a big coincidence that's how it all played out, or ordained by God, one or the other. It says that she's being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, meaning in Bethlehem, right? While they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Now, what does that mean? It's time to have a baby, right? 9 months are expired. It's time for this to happen. Okay. It says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And we read that and we're like, yeah, I know that. They go and, there's Christmas songs about it. They laid him in, a feeding trough, all the different things. And we know those things. And, obviously there's the three wise men that come and bring gifts, and the gifts all represent things. And, there's the shepherds who, are a picture of, a pastor taking care of the flock and, following the star. There's all the different things of the Christmas story, right? And I don't want to get too much into the Christmas story, because as much as I really wanted this to be Christmas-like, it's really not, in the sense of every time I read this, and it says, because there was no room for them in the inn. And we're like, okay, yeah, we understand that. There's no room. The hotel's full. No vacancy, right? It don't matter how much money you got. Actually, it did at the time, but, you're not staying here. This is the best you can do. Go sleep with the animals. And so, if you want a title for, this devotion, because this isn't really super teaching, I didn't want a bunch of references. I just wanted something for you to think about. Is there room in the inn of your heart? Is there room in the inn of your heart? And I'll get to what that means in a minute, but, I have three similarities, and you're like, this sounds like teaching, but these are just things that I want you to think about. Three similarities between Christ's first coming, because this was his first coming, right? This, he came as a baby the first time. Three similarities between Christ's first coming and his soon second coming. Because we don't really think about this. When we read the Christmas account, we're thinking of as he came as a baby. Right? Humble, meek, mild, all of those things. We don't really compare his first coming to a second coming, because I promise when he comes back the second time, it's going to look differently. something about a sword sticking out of his mouth. He means business, right? He's coming back to set things in order. His first time, it was a little different. He was full of grace. He was full of mercy. He was full of opportunity for the nation of Israel to accept him. At his second coming, it's going to be very different. Read the book of Revelation, and it talks a lot about those things. We don't have to get into that. But what I want to talk about is the similarities in the world between his first coming and his second coming, right? And so these are just things I've thought about, because I'm like, how could there be no room for people? Like, all these people are coming. Obviously, there had to have been somewhere, right? There had to have been something that could have happened. And so the first similarity between his first coming and his second coming is people knew he was coming, but they weren't expecting him. Now think about that for a second. People knew he was coming, but they weren't expecting him. If you have read much of the Old Testament, especially when you get into the prophets, there's like prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. There's hundreds of them of the foretelling of Christ, the Messiah, coming to earth. And the Jews, the super religious Jews, right, they were counting on it. So much so that, man, they were counting on it so much that they missed it, right? Because it didn't come in the way that they thought it was going to happen. But they knew that he was coming. You could have asked any religious Jew at the time, oh yeah, the Messiah is coming, right? The Messiah will be here. And when he is, then these things will happen. And well, what they missed was those things were happening right in front of their eyes, and they just, you know, were totally blind to it. But the people knew that he was coming. They just weren't expecting it, right? And I think about that in the sense of how many people, and I say people because I know it's not you guys. You are super faithful in God's word in the sense of you believe everything it says, right? Because I know that's how you guys are. How many people in your life, not you, because you've never thought this, have thought, they've been talking about Jesus coming back for a long time, and it hasn't happened yet. So realistically, what makes me think that it's going to happen in my lifetime? Right? They know that it's going to happen. The Bible says that the second coming is going to happen. But is it really going to happen in my lifetime? Right? Yes, Christ will come back. I get it. That's what the Bible says, and I believe it. But are you living like it's going to happen today? Right? Are you actually... And, you know, I'm asking myself this. Like, am I living like I know he's coming? Or like I'm expecting him to be here today? There's a difference. Right? Let me give you an example. We had like a Christmas gathering at our house this week. And so everybody in our house knew that there were going to be people coming over to our house. And so it's like, oh yeah, there's a list of things that need to be done, right? We need to, you know, vacuum the floors. We need to make sure that this is, or the bathroom's got to be cleaned, all the things, because you don't want people to come over and your house not be in order. And so we all know that these things are happening, and we know that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I know that this is going to happen. But then when yesterday morning rolls around, it's like, hey, I'm expecting these people something. We got to make sure these things are actually done, right? And so, you know, Paige was, out on Friday, she was cleaning Nick and Kendra's house that they were moving into. And so, you know, I'm in there scrubbing the toilets and whatnot. And, you know, those aren't normally things. I'll just be completely honest with you. Those aren't normally things that I do around the house very often. But when I know that there are things that need to happen and Paige is tied up doing other things, other ministry, I'm like, hey, it's not just something that's going to happen next week, because I promise, as much as I would like to tell you that I just really like to serve my wife in the capacity of scrubbing the toilets, if the Christmas thing wouldn't have been till next Saturday, I wouldn't have been scrubbing the toilets last Friday. It just wouldn't have happened. Because there's always tomorrow, right? There's always until there's not tomorrow anymore. Yes, amen. You're correct. The point is, we all know Christ is coming back. It's not a question of if, it's when.
Christ is going to come back and you're going to have a dirty toilet?
I mean, maybe. The good news is I won't have to use it anymore. Anyway, people knew he was coming, but they weren't expecting him. They knew the Messiah was coming, but they were busy doing other things. They were full of all of this other stuff that was going on in life. And it was really inconvenient right now. right? And I wonder how many Christians are going to hear like the trumpet sound at the rapture, and they're going to be like, I'm in the middle of something, right? Can you just hang on? Or I'm totally not ready. Can you wait till tomorrow? And like, we know it's happening, but are we living like it's going to happen? Because that's what happened. It says that there was no room for him. If they would have known who he was, I bet they would have found somewhere. No, this is the Messiah, right? This is the guy you've been waiting for since you were, before you were born. Your ancestors were waiting on this guy. I bet we could have found a room for him. But it wasn't the priority because they weren't expecting him. I just think it's interesting because we read that and we're like, oh man, how would they let that happen? Jesus was there and they didn't even find anywhere for him. I'm just saying, there's some Christians. Jesus is going to roll back in the second time and we're going to be like, I'm not quite ready, right? I'm in the middle of something. I just think it's interesting. They knew he was coming, but they weren't expecting him. The second similarity between Christ's first coming and his second coming is there's no room because the inn's already full. And we're like, that's what no vacancy means, Jason. I understand, right? There's no room for him in the inn. Why? Because the place is full. We already read why. Everybody has to come back to their hometown, meaning they don't have a house to live in there. And so if they're coming to town, I mean, where do you go? If you're staying somewhere out of town, you don't typically just, you find somewhere to sleep, right? That's what a hotel exists for, right? That's what that's for. There were all kinds of people coming to town. And what do you think, like, the innkeepers were thinking? Oh, it's taxing season. No, they're thinking, like, money, money, money. I ain't been this full in a long time. You know, there's no room because the inn's already full, right? How many people, when Christ comes back his second time, are going to be just a little bit too busy right now, right? Are they going to like tell Jesus, can you come back in the off season? Like, I'm making really good money right now. Like, things are happening. Things are jiving. This is really working out for me. Can you just come back in the off season? You know, you can't ever find somewhere to stay on the beach in the summertime. That's where everybody wants to be. You want to roll in there and like, you know, January, it's cold. Like, you can get off-season rates. It's cheap. That's the time to go. It's because it's not warm there. I could have been cold at home, right? That's the whole point. There's a peak season and there's an off-season. But there's no room in the inn because it's already full. And how many Christians, I'm not even talking about lost people, how many Christians, they're just thinking, can you just come back when it's a little more convenient? Like, things are going really good right now. Like, there have been times in my life when I've thought, man, Jesus, you could come back right now. I'm ready. Because I'm tired of dealing with this, whatever it is. I'm tired of dealing with, like, smash the cap in. I'm tired of dealing with this right now. I've never had the thought in my mind when things were, like, really good. It felt like things in life were really happening. Jesus, why don't you come back right now? Because things are happening. Good things are happening. Like, everything's jiving. And let me just ask you this. And you might be like, let me just ask you, how many open rooms are available in your heart, right? And I understand, but how many open rooms are actually available in your life right now or in your heart right now? Where if Jesus was to roll in right now, unexpected, because we're not expecting him, we know he's coming, but we're not expecting it. How many open rooms do you actually have? Because if he was to come back and you're like, yeah, but, you know, I've got the kids over here, and I've got work over here, and I've got this over here, and I'm doing this over here, and I just don't really want that to happen right now. I don't know. I'm just asking. I read this story. It says there's no room for him in the inn. And we're like, how could they let that happen? Bro, I'm just saying, there's going to be a lot of Christians that are saying the same thing when he comes back. There's just not any room right now. Right? I just don't really have space right now. You know, how many lost people, when you share the gospel with them, they're like, man, that sounds good, but just not right now in my life. I mean, I get it. You ain't got room for Jesus in your life right now. The problem is, most Christians are the same way, right? Most religious people are the same way. I just don't have room for him right now. I'm busy. I've got to go do this with the kids. I've got this Christmas thing I've got to go to. And I've got to go do this and I've got to go do that. And, you know, we can't go to the Christmas Eve service and we can't go to the Christmas service and we can't do this and we can't pray and we can't do this and we can't. It's because your priorities are all jacked up. And I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe myself, but there's no room because the end's already full. Your heart's already full. You have filled that thing up to your heart's content with everything the world's got to offer. And we even call them godly things. Right? God forbid that somebody's got so much church in their life that Jesus can't get in. It happens. Right? It happens. And the last thing, because this is a devotion, it's not teaching even though it's long. The last similarity between His first coming and His second coming, our decisions are influenced more by our bank ledger than our spiritual ledger. And let me explain what that means. Because you don't have a spiritual ledger in the sense of you have to do enough good things to get to heaven. I think you guys understand that. You're saved from the moment of salvation. There's nothing that you can do or not do to lose your way out of heaven, right? Or gain your way into more heaven. It doesn't work like that. But we do understand the sense of everything that you do from the day you get saved until the day that the rapture happens or you die, those are put into your quote-unquote spiritual account. And those things, all of those things, will be reviewed at the judgment seat of Christ. Every saved Christian will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where, and I didn't want to get super into references, but that's where the reference that says it will all be tried by fire. In the sense of everything, all of your works will be tried by fire. And he basically says if they're wood, hay, and stubble, they're going to burn up pretty quick in the fire. But are they gold, silver, and precious stones? Because those are the things that when they're put through the purification process of Jesus, they stay the same, right? The things that are eternal. And so you have a spiritual ledger in the sense of it doesn't get you more heaven, but it does define what your glorified body looks like. Right? And I've always said, you know, you don't want to be the naked guy in heaven. I want to be the person that's got so much spiritual fruit to my account that there's no question of how I live from the day I got saved moving forward. Right? That should be everybody's goal. But the problem is, most people, their decisions are influenced more by their bank ledger than it is their spiritual ledger. There's no room in the inn. Because why? Because these guys are making more money right now than they've ever made before. These guys are charging, you know, 10 times what that room's actually worth. And they've probably got extra people in there, right? They've got this thing crammed to the max so that they can make as much money as possible. It is really inconvenient for Jesus to show up right now. I don't have time for that. I'm making enough money in this 1 week that I can go on vacation the rest of the year, right? I don't even have to work the rest of the year. We can close the doors of this place. Jesus, come back next week, right? You can have any room you want, but right now it's full. Because why? Because I'm making good money right now. Things are going really good right now. Things are really happening. And our decisions in life, at the time of Christ coming, and honestly right now, when He's going to come the second time, they're influenced way more by what the bottom dollar says than what your spiritual account's ever going to say. Right? Let me just ask you this. When you ask yourself this question, what does it mean? Because it means two different things to different people. When you ask yourself this question, how much is this going to cost? What does that mean to you? When you ask yourself in life, how much is this going to cost? What does that mean? Now I understand, like, there are certain things that cost money, right? I need to know how much it costs. But I'm talking about I'm not talking about Christmas gifts. I'm talking about getting into discipleship. I'm talking about signing on to read through the Bible in a year. I'm talking about, you know, deciding to step into ministry. I'm talking about signing up for a mission trip. You know, I'm talking about deciding that I'm going to get into HBI or take D2 or, you know, disciple somebody. What is this going to cost? Because it could mean different things to different people. That's a lot of time. I'm going to not be able to work as much. I'm going to not be available to do this and that and that. And, you know, those are times that I am able to make money. Now, I'm talking about spiritually, what's this going to cost? You're going to actually have to die to self a little bit. You're actually going to have to live for Christ a little bit. You're actually going to have to allow Him to sit on the throne of your life a little bit instead of being so busy with the stuff and the this and the that and the other. And like, the reason that I just am at the point where I'm like, I said it earlier, it's not super Christmassy this year, because I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of what our culture has made it. Right? And I get it. No shocker here. December 25th wasn't actually when Jesus was born. I get that. But if Christians would actually take it and at least use the reason to get the gospel where it needs to go and to actually minister to people instead of worrying about what we're going to buy for somebody and what I'm going to get for somebody, then like, man, I'm telling you, we've really messed this thing up. And that's another reason why I think like we can't be far off from Christ saying, all right, enough is enough. Like, every dispensation ends with a failure, and some of you D2 people know what that means, but like, God has allowed us to have this age of grace for a while, and at some point, He's just gonna be like, alright, it's time to go to somebody else. Because the Church of Laodicea, He's standing at the door and He's knocking. Brian says it nearly every week. And we're like, hang on! We're having Christmas dinner! Right? We're opening gifts! We're doing this and that and the other, and I'm too busy, and I've got this going on, and I got to go do that. Hey, I get it. Everybody's got to work, right? I don't recommend anybody quitting their job unless God told you to do it. And you better make sure that He told you multiple times, and you got counsel from wise counsel and multiple other things too, because that's a big thing. But what I'm saying is I understand that the dollar bill makes the world go around, but I also understand that at any point, Jesus could put His finger on the world and it's going to stop spinning. What's more important? Right? And I'm not trying to like convict anybody. I'm just saying like when I read this story and I'm like, wow, these guys, they really missed it. Like Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born and they like didn't have any room for Him. And I'm like, wow, that's just like the culture we live in today. Right? He could show up today and we wouldn't even have a feeding trough for Him. Right? Because it's all about what we can get out of it. And so I just pray that as we read through the Christmas stuff and we get excited about all the Christmas things, that man, we've got to have room in our heart for Christ. And I know we're like, well, we're Christians. I know that. We're at church. I know that. I'm just saying there's a lot of people that show up at church every week. I'm not saying this church, but I'm not saying this church either, that they ain't got any room in their heart for Christ. They don't have any more room because it's full. It's full of TV and it's full of, you know, their phone and it's full of all of the things that the devil's like, hey, this is a really good tool. Let's use this. I can just appease them. And man, at some point we've got to just realize what's the main thing and keep the main thing the main thing. Right? And I told you guys this from the very get-go. I appreciate Passpoint because you guys are doing the work. But you know what? Just doing it, and this is going to sound odd, it's not enough. Because if we're the only people that are doing it, and if HBF is the only people that are doing it, it's still not going to get done. You have to do it, but you've also got to encourage other people to do it with you. Because you're never going to do it by yourself. Right? You just can't. That's what discipleship is. Who are you training to do what you're doing? Who are you bringing alongside of you? Like, who are you showing how to live life in Christ with? Because if you're like, I don't really have anybody, that's on you. Like, I can't appoint every person somebody to like, oh, mentor this person. Just go minister to somebody, lost or saved, right? And just love them like Jesus would. And here, one of two things will happen. They'll either get so tired of you acting like Jesus that they'll quit coming around, or they'll decide, I guess I'm going to have to join them. It's one or the other. And honestly, because you don't want anything in between. Right? You don't want anything in between. And so, I guess more than anything, I'm just encouraging you to just live what we do. Because you're doing it. Everybody in here is doing it. Everybody in Passpoint's doing it. But are we living it? Right? And I know that sounds kind of, but we're so busy about the work that sometimes we're missing the point. Make sure we're doing what we're living. Right? So anyway, I just make sure that there's room in your heart. God forbid the Passpoint class is the class that's like, hang on, Jesus, we're not quite ready. Right? I mean, God forbid. All right, let's pray. I love you guys. Passpoint is it's really good. I've got big plans. It's what the country song says for what Passpoint's going to do in this upcoming year. And I don't have any idea how we're going to get it done because there's not enough of us. And but you know what? God has a way. So I'm excited for what this upcoming year holds. So let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for just loving us, Lord. Thank you for just a devotional thought out of your word. And it could have been super teachy. I could have had tons of references. But more than anything, Lord, I just want people to just evaluate their own heart. You know, is there room in my heart for you? You know, because a lot of us can't even make time to be in the Word every day. And that makes me wonder, how serious are we? So, Lord, we need to make sure that we do have room in our heart for you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us today. I pray for Pastor Brian as he preaches today. There's going to be a lot of guests here today. It's Christmas time. People are having a good time. I'm excited for the kids to get up and sing. And, Lord, I pray that we do have a joyous heart for you and that you are just getting the glory for everything, that not only what we're saying, but what we're doing, and not only what we're doing, but what we're saying, Lord. And they have to go hand in hand. So, Lord, I pray that you would just bless us. Just keep us focused on you as we step into the new year, and just bless the reading thing that we're going to do. Lord, it's just a device to get us in your word together. And so I'm excited about what that could mean for the class in general. And so I pray that you would just bless that effort and that you would get the glory for all of it. In Christ's name, amen. If you want in on the reading thing, just text one of us. That way we can get you on the list. If not, I won't bother you about it anymore. Yeah.